such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome. Welcome. Say welcome. Hi. Say hello.
Welcome back.
Hello, everyone.
Say welcome back. Where did we go? We didn't go anywhere.
For the day.
Today. No, welcome. I was just telling Armin, I probably say this every day, but life shouldn't be like this. Everything is so stressful.
Yes.
So stressful. I was thinking today, this is perhaps why it's so hard even to get into the season of Lent, which is it is a penitential mm-hmm. season, but it's a time to do house cleaning and to, I mean, the cleaning of the soul. And to bring some asceticism into our lives, create some space so that we can be more deeply nurtured in the life of God, so that we can give better witness. You know, mm-hmm. We have to be that leaven, the salt, the light, as Jesus said. And but I was thinking just a little while ago that Lent is so hard because of the stress. The world today just doesn't even provide you.
No.
You have to be very intent, very conscious of creating this space, a place and a space, you know, for this, well, a desert. Now, I say desert because I've been suggesting that the gospel, was it this past Sunday? See, I'm always living ahead of myself, so we're going into the second week, but this is the first week of Lent, right?
Yes, you're right.
This is the first.
And that was getting confused.
I know, because
Father,
we're always ahead.
The deadlines that
we're preparing everything for the following week.
Yes.
And maybe that's part of the problem, But the gospel said that the Spirit drove mm-hmm. Jesus into the desert. And for 40 days he was there in the midst of the wild beasts, and Satan tempted him. And I was saying, let's invert that a little bit and maybe look at it from this perspective, that the Spirit drives us into sanctuary, away from the desert, away from the wild beasts and the temptation of Satan, in the sense that we got to come away from the world and put ourselves in sanctuary. This is, fasting and prayer. Almsgiving would be the fruit of that experience, but to be intent and conscious of nurturing our life in Christ. But it's just the stuff of life today makes it so hard, you know? And I'm not going to go into I'll give you a litany of all the things that even happened today already, but it's like these fires are burning, you're trying to put them out. Others are coming in. Things are piling up. You can't move them this way or that way. You just can't. Mm-hmm. You can't move. How do you focus? But anyway, mm-hmm. So we'll get back to that. Maybe not. I don't know. who said this? This is something I heard. Very beautiful. Let's see if you guys can determine whose words these are. This is very interesting. If you lose wealth, you lose nothing. If you lose health, you lose something. If you lose character, you lose everything.
Wow, that is nice.
This is powerful, isn't it?
Yes, I have no idea who said that.
Armin, you know a lot of things. Exactly. Yeah, I knew he'd know. I knew he'd know.
Who was it?
Who was it?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
Did he pass away?
Yes. Yeah. See, yeah, okay. Get with it. You know.
Wake up, Christina.
You
wake up,
Christina. Me. I'm in my own world. I don't watch the news.
Hey, did
I
he pass away? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. 90. I think it's 99 years old. Can you imagine?
Wow.
He could have only just made it to 100. But you know, even though he's been, in a sense, out of commission, although he says, you know, he was always, he says you can never not be a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was his life. I remember my busha, my grandmother, when she would visit us, and she could speak broken English and from Poland, and she would visit us, and I mean, she lived in Chicago, but she was an immigrant from Poland, but when she would visit us wherever we lived, Colorado, Delaware, wherever. I remember at that time they had the, I think it was called the Billy Graham Hour, I'm not sure. And he had these revivals or whatever all over the place. I couldn't believe how many. I had 417 crusades.
Wow.
In 185 countries.
Mm.
He's kind of like the Protestant Pope or the nation's Pope, you know, head of the church. But he was so deeply respected and really had a powerful impact on the lives of just literally millions of people. But my grandmother, I remember she would, when he would come on TV, she would she'd get her chair and sit right in front of that TV, and you couldn't move her. You know, she was just completely intent on, and she's a very devout Catholic, you know. But it's not that, you know, the fact is he's a man of God, a Christian. And you think his passing away, his death, would it, at least for a moment, maybe, especially at a time like ours, you know, as we're dealing with this this massacre in Florida, as we're dealing with this great divide in the nation, and I mean it's a great divide, not great. It's great insofar as it's a big divide.
Mm-hmm. Vast.
There's nothing great about it. A vast divide, but you know, where's this going to take us? I mean, at what point do we, you know, wake up and say, we talked about that the other day. As a matter of fact, that my hope is that there's going to be this this awakening. But, you know, I tell you, I saw last night, and don't tell me how I saw it. I was listening to the Rubin Report. This is Dave Rubin, I think his name is. I don't know. He was a comedian, and he's a liberal. But he says liberalism has become leftism. Anyways, this is very dangerous. And so he's appears to be more conservative. Conserve, what it means to conserve, you know, traditional values and morality, character. It goes back to this quote, if you lose wealth, you lose nothing. If you lose health, you lose something. If you lose character, you lose everything. And he gives his own witness as to awakening to this present reality that is really destructive, is created so much confusion, so much, the vulgarity, the boorishness, is that the word, the boorishness, the vulgarity, the vice, the violence. I'm using my own words here. He's not using those, but that something's not right. And but anyway, it happened to, so every so often I'll listen to him. You can get on the YouTube, you can get his, I tell you, the first time I was introduced to him, he was interviewing the bishop, Bishop Barron. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating. And Rubin is, I think he's Jewish. He's in a gay relationship. He's in a gay marriage and all that. So, I mean, but the respect he gave to Bishop Barron and just the beautiful comment or the dialogue that took place was very respectful and very, And you could see that he was really appreciative, really mm-hmm. caught up in, and had a deep respect for the bishop. But so every so often I listen to some of his it's called the Reuben Report, mm-hmm. and last night I happened to see he had a dialogue with or an interview with what's her name Roseanne not Roseanne Dana but Roseanne
Roseanne Barr.
Talk about a gross.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, gross.
I can just imagine.
I was shocked. And I thought, you know, this, but not only that, I was listening. So it kind of took me here and there and everywhere. And I was listening. A lot of the stuff that's going on. I said, what has happened to the psyche of our people? And I mean, this woman, she used the F word.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, over and over and over again. And she was just talking nonsense. Mm-hmm. As people might think I do, but and I swear, it seemed like she was drinking. She had like a coffee cup, but it seemed like it was there must have been vodka.
Some hard liquor there.
It was really really bizarre. I think he was even shocked by the.
She has really special problems. Let's just say that.
Anyway, but it just it gives you a sense of what is. Well, I'll go back to the quote. If you lose wealth, you lose nothing. Mm-hmm. If you lose health, you lose something. If you lose character, you lose everything. Do we even care about character today in our nation? Mm-hmm. And it's a question. I think it's a self-respect, decency, mm-hmm. civility. The society is becoming more. Oh, you know. By the way, so you guys can figure this out. Maybe you already know. Mm-hmm. I heard this too. Interesting, in this time of the Me Too movement, you know, where, you know, it's, I don't know what to say. I just.
It's a good way.
But it's caught Hollywood and uh-huh. the arts and the politicians and, well, the whole of society. It's just like, you know, men, I mean, geez, I don't, whatever. where there is any kind of abuse. It has to be eradicated. Mm-hmm. It has to be called out. But what are the limits? The way I don't even know how to talk about it. But I heard today, and this is the hypocrisy of the arts mm-hmm. today. Hollywood, the Grammys. So this is about the Grammys, which is what the Grammys are. The what songs?
The,
music
awards.
Music award. You can tell I'm not too into this. So the number one song, and I have no idea. I didn't catch the name of the song. I didn't catch the.
It's probably a good thing.
The artist, but the number one song I heard today. I was listening as they were. There was a commentary on this. The lyrics of the song. Are so misogynist, is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
So graphic, erotic.
Wow, vulgar.
Vulgar, demeaning to women. And yet that's supposedly the, find out what it is. See if you can find out what it is. The number one song.
Yeah, inquiring minds want to know.
For the Grammy.
I mean, stopped watching the Grammys. Many.
Me too.
And I love music. Don't get me wrong. I
but figure that out.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, I have younger nieces and nephews and people that I talk to. Some of these words are just, I don't know how they could. These words are so bad. I can't even follow them.
And they don't pay attention to the lyrics.
They don't. It's just the beats and things like that. But when you start looking at the lyrics of these words, or you look at the words, my gosh, the things that are being said.
So I think it goes back to, you know, this. We need a reawakening.
Yeah.
We need to wake up to what has happened in our civil society. The progressive deterioration of the society that people seem to, I'm using the example of Roseanne Barr in this interview, to be so crude, mm-hmm. so violent in her speech. I mean, gross, completely gross.
That's always been kind of her, I don't know, MO. She's always, that's what she's always been, controversial that way. I don't know, what was the interview about?
Well, I can't even tell. It was her politics.
Oh, that's when she talks politics. Then yeah,
her just first of all, she just didn't make a lot of sense.
It's like, you know, the Rosie O'Donnell. That's another one. I can't. We'll have to just automatically tune off.
So there's, I don't want to get into that too. But
that's what I like.
That's what I like.
I don't even want to know what.
that's a part. And who's the artist?
Who's the artist? Yeah.
The artist.
Bruno Mars.
Christopher Brody Brown? Brody Brown.
I don't know.
I don't know a lot of these new...
It's Bruno Mars. That's what I like.
Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars. Yeah, is it? Oh, Bruno Mars. You're right.
That's the artist?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's a pop artist.
Yes,
Bruno Mars.
But the fact that it was number one and...
Number one album, number one song.
Sure. And you think in the climate of the day, you know... But anyway, we'll take a break and then we'll come back and go back to the whole topic of Lent, and the question is, you know, how delicate we are in our approach to Lent as contrasted with the Middle Ages, because I was reading something on that, and again it begs the question, what can we do? What should we do? How do we create the space? How do we enter into an asceticism that will serve well our relationship with God and really bring about a metanoia or a change, a conversion, certainly, so that we can really stand firm against the forces, insidious as they are, to undo. The destruction of the moral fiber of our country and the necessity for faith in God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has indeed revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and how, unfortunately, in the media, with certain exceptions, but for the most part, for already decades, it's been so ridiculed, so... perverted, that, you know, for the young people, it kind of leaves them wondering or confused or that there's an automatic hostility against this dignified, God-given, grace-filled faith that is so necessary for the well-being of society and for the future, quite frankly. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and, you know, look at that, perhaps. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Portal 1-2 Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Newsflash, this just in... Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, what's the solution? Well, you know what we need? We mourn the We grieve the passing of Billy Graham. We're happy for his salvation, his eternal salvation. He lived his whole life giving himself completely, totally to the proclamation of the good news of the gospel. But that good news, and this is what we need today, I think, you know, quite frankly, is that he didn't mince words. I mean, he didn't soft pedal.
Mm-mm.
He didn't just look for the nice things that make us comfortable. You know, God is love, God is love, but it's his isn't a permissive love. Mm-hmm. It's a binding love that really holds us to responsibility, to obligation, to be on that narrow path. And we are so jaded in that regard because we're so reluctant, so afraid to speak the full counsel of God, because perhaps the fear that we're going to offend. And he didn't offend. The thing is, he didn't offend because people had deep respect for his integrity and for his it's like Jesus when he was a mouthpiece, a spokesman for the Lord. But Jesus, I think, often in the gospel, when he speaks and people were astounded because he spoke not like the scribes and the Pharisees, but he spoke with authority. Mm-hmm. And Billy Graham had that. He demanded that respect because he had an authority that that really cut to the core of people's lives. You know, so there was even if the message was bothered the conscience, there was a recognition that there was in this a truth. A truth, and he used to be, you know. So it's so in that sense, we mourn his death because we need people on the world stage today. Mm-hmm. So as I thought, he and Pope John Paul II, he had a lot of good things to say mm-hmm. about the Holy Father and Pope John Paul II regarding him as Billy Graham as well. We were blessed. I've said this many times, that we've been blessed in our lifetime, certainly, to have on the world stage the likes of a Pope John Paul II, Mother Teresa mm-hmm. of Calcutta, Pope Benedict, I would say absolutely, Billy Graham. We were blessed to have him on the mm-hmm. world stage as well, and he was on the world stage.
Oh, Mother Angelica, too.
Mother Angelica. Yeah. But I think we have to pray that God raise up, you know, people of that caliber, mm-hmm. people of that with that kind of conviction, not creating confusion or lost in the political,
mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, we cannot separate ourselves from the political reality. But how we enter into that? How do we, as Christians, as Catholics, as priests, bishops, popes, how we enter into that dialogue or that conversation, reading the signs of the times and where is this going to take us? What must we do? You know, if we're not deeply, deeply, deeply grounded in the gospel message, and if that message isn't coming across loud and clear, you know, unapologetically, that we're not here to cave or to compromise or to undo or water down the message, but to speak to the truth of the message in the full counsel of God. If we're not doing that, then, you know, I think what happens is we, as St. Paul says, you know, we'll tickle the ears mm-hmm. of the people. But we leave. I'll go back to, you know, what seemed to me was, and I think this is still pretty much the case. But after the Second Vatican Council, this need to go out, you know, to come away from our I'm going to use the word ghetto. Maybe that's probably not the proper word, but to get out of come out of ourselves as Christians to wake up. And to know that we have a mission to the world. We have to go out and we have to give witness, give testimony, which is what Billy Graham did. what happened, it seems to me, in the church, and really brought to demise many religious communities of nuns and even priests, is that there was this, okay, we're gonna go out, we're gonna befriend the world, and not rock the boat in some instances, in many instances, but in doing so, you know, on one hand, there was, okay, we're going to applaud these people, you know, they're with us, or maybe that's the problem. Mm-hmm. They're in the world, and it's no longer they're in the world but not of the world, but they're in the world and they're with us in this, the devil's deception, his deceit, deception. Well, it's the father of lies. Mm-hmm. Who things get a little bit skewed, mm-hmm. and it takes us far away from the core message of the gospel, which is, you know, calling people to repent of their sins, to be converted, and to give themselves, surrender their lives to Christ Jesus, who's going to place demands on us. I mean, it's not no strings attached. You know, God is love, and you can do anything you want. This is a permissive God. Our God is not a permissive God. He's anything but a permissive God. He's certainly merciful. Mm-hmm. And he knows that we're a fallen people, we're broken people, we're wounded people, we're sinful people. We're made of, you know, we hold the treasure, we hold the faith, the gift in earthen vessels. We have clay feet. But, and he doesn't wait for our perfection, thank God. He comes to us in that brokenness, but not only to lift us up and to try to keep us on that narrow path, but to keep moving us forward, and that we continue to be purged and transformed and sanctified, so that it is, you know, that we give the space for Christ to reproduce his life in us, so that we do have the thoughts of Jesus. We can see with the eyes of Jesus. We feel with the heart of Jesus. We speak his words and his voice, in a sense, you know. And that our hands, you know, extend to others the touch of Christ Jesus. This is the goal of Christianity, it seems to me. You know, as St. Paul says, it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. But when we go out and think we're going to befriend the world, it's not going to happen. So there might be an initial applauding, but what we tend to do, if we water it down, if we're not preaching the full counsel of God, is we appease the conscience of the people, and then we become irrelevant, because there is no real call to the discipline of the faith. The call to be nice people, it's almost what's interpreted. It's almost interpreted this way. You know, I do my thing, you do your thing. No judgment. Mm-hmm. Just love each other, you know. It's just love. And love is defined in the fact that I let you kind of, you know, I leave you free to do whatever you want.
To love in on a each sense. Other. Huh? Love on each other.
Well, love on each other, huh? Yeah. But when in fact, the love of Christ is sacrificial. Yes. Love. It's that I've got to, as we say so often here, we got to look beyond ourselves. You know, it's not about, we want to get away from the breeding of this narcissism, mm-hmm. and, you know, yield to Christ and to recognize our absolute need for Christ. That, you know, Billy Graham, when he was, I was reading this morning, when there was homegrown terrorism in Oklahoma. Remember, I forgot, McVeigh, is that his name?
Yeah.
And 168 people died, 19 children. And Billy Graham, of course, because he was the nation's foremost preacher, pastor, he spoke, he gave the sermon at the memorial service. President Clinton was there, and I believe it was Clinton at the time. And he said, unapologetically, he says, the Bible says there is a devil. This Satan is very real, and he has great power. And it also tells us that evil is real, and that the human heart is capable of almost limitless evil when it is cut off from God and from the moral law. He quoted the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is your heart and my heart without God," he said. "I pray that you will not let bitterness and poison creep into your soul, but that you will turn in faith and trust in God, even if we cannot understand. It is better to face something like this with God than without God." He was very blunt when it came to that. You know, I had mentioned some time ago, I wrote a letter. I wanted to thank the people of Chicago, you know, for the prayers and all this. This was perhaps a year and a half ago. And our own Catholic paper took out the bulk of the letter, the meat of the letter. It wasn't just about thanking people, but it was, you know, that in suffering we enter into solidarity, and that, yes, you know, as Christians today, as Catholics today, we feel ourselves, we see ourselves as increasingly strangers in a foreign land. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in the letter, I quote Jesus in the gospel, in his farewell address. He says, you know, "Father, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." And he says, and Jesus says, it's not going to be easy. I'm calling you down a difficult path. And so as much as we want to befriend the world, and I quoted Jesus, he says, "But you're going to be at enmity with the world, because the world, as it hated me, it will hate you as well." So I quoted that in the book, and in the letter, and also I made mention of the words of Pope Benedict, who said that the false deities, the false gods, will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. In the letter, and I was paying for a full page ad as a way of saying thank you, but also to as a pastor, as a priest, mm-hmm. to bring it beyond myself into the bigger question of suffering, and especially today we suffer the faith, as the Pope said, the false deities will be unmasked with the suffering faith of simple believers, so we understand that what we're experiencing, what we're happening, is part of the gospel message that our adhering to Christ is going to put us at enmity with the world, and that is the world that is under the dominion of Satan. As Jesus said that he's the father of lies, he's the prince of this world, the father of darkness, and he's a deceiver. So he creates deception. He creates the illusion, and so we wonder what's happening here? But we're in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual combat, and the Catholic paper took all that out, as you know, that this might be offensive, or it might be misunderstood, or that it maybe doesn't reflect today the mind of the Church. And I thought, well, if that's the case, I said, well, first I said, withdraw the letter. You're not going to have that letter, because I'll send it to the Baptist or the Evangelicals or whatever. They'll pick up on it. Huh? But that's telling to me, you know. And when I say that, it's a constructive criticism. And maybe it's trying to be a little bit prophetic, in the sense that we got to say, you know, we got to call ourselves back to truth. Mm-hmm. If we're not living this, preaching this, in word and deed, preaching in word, giving witness in word, but also in our actions and our deeds, then we discredit ourselves, mm-hmm. and people will, okay, we make it very nice, very comfortable. Very soft. We're going to soft pedal.
The Church of Nice.
The Church of Nice, as I say, you know, I've said it many times. And this is not. We're not tiptoeing through the tulips. You know, the Church isn't. Unfortunately, we're not in the Garden of Paradise, but more often in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. Right? Those are two gardens. You know how that. But we have to accept this is the reality, and it's precisely St. Paul said, in season, out of season, mm-hmm. when convenient, when inconvenient. Know, proclaim, live, proclaim the faith. And this is an out-of-season time, an inconvenient time. And if we're not, you know, firm in faith, if we're going to cave and compromise, if we're going to try to make ourselves lovable and acceptable, then we've missed the whole message of the gospel. God so we'll take a break. God so loved the world. Make mention of this all the time. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. Well, we have to recognize our need for salvation. That same gospel, Jesus said, or John says, he writes, the light came into the darkness, but people chose rather to stay in the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. Go back to what the scripture says. We avoid the light because we know, because the law of God is written into our hearts. So we know. Maybe we can't articulate it, but deep down we know right from wrong. And if we choose to live in this, we allow ourselves to be seduced or deceived or live the illusion. I mean, my gosh, going back to that song,
mm-hmm.
going back to the interview with
Roseanne Barr,
so much of what you see, the vulgarity, the violence, the vice, the absolute lack of regard for the commandments of God, for the teachings, the life and teachings of Christ Jesus, complete and radical deviation from Judeo-Christianity, complete and radical deviation, radical secularism. It is absolutely killing the soul of our society, and we're moving rapidly away from civility. And I don't think anybody can deny it. I feel, Jesus said the hardest, strongest words he said in the gospel, he said, if you lead the innocent astray, better that a millstone be put around your neck, you be thrown in the sea and drowned. It's a very, very strong mm-hmm. words. And you look at this stuff that's coming at us via the internet, the television, these little kids have, at the push of a button, access to so much. But even aside from the very hardcore, raw stuff that's really bad, like, let's say, the pornography and all that, but mm-hmm. it's just if I'm sitting there listening to this interview and there are children around and you get this woman using the F word over and over and the S, all this, mm-hmm. I mean, it was every other word. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, Tuesday, I said, we need a reawakening. Will it happen? I'm kind of back to being a little bit pessimistic, hopefully pessimistic, because I do believe that, we are a leaven, we are the salt, we are the seed that is germinating, that will bear fruit somehow or another, sometime or another, in some way or another, mm-hmm. by the grace of God. But we have to suffer this for right now, because this is the reality, and only God knows where it's going to take us. But I just feel for the young people, how they're... anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back and just pick up on this. So, Father Anthony, you're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, we need Lent.
Yeah.
We need Lent, but it's so hard because we live in a society that is just so stressed out. You know, they're just it's just part of the life today. We've got to find ways. I've already said it, I think, on the radio before, but I think during Lent, you know, we have to maybe one of the good things to give up, although we're now in the 1 week, but still you can
it's never too late.
Never too late.
But really to detach some from the computer, from the telephone, cell phone. I guess you only have to say cell phone now because that's everything, right? You got it all right there.
Portable computer.
Kind of grafted right into your body. but to detach from that, create the space, make the place for God. Listen, my gosh, you know, we got to listen. So I'm saying that whereas the Spirit drove Jesus into the desert, imagine we're in the desert, and we're in this desert in the midst of wild beasts, because we're becoming very wild people, and the temptations of Satan. We get maybe the Spirit's driving us out of the desert into sanctuary. We've got the sanctuary here. The door is open 24/7 for that purpose, but that's that we open the door to the sanctuary of our soul. You know, get into the deep recesses of the soul. Just here I am, Lord. I come to do Your will. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. Make some sense out of this for me. If we're not doing that, I mentioned it. You know, the letter for this coming week. So I'm living ahead, but that many people today. I do you think this? I hear this all the time. I feel it. I say it. I say, you know, gosh, we need divine intervention. We are so divided, so confused, so jaded by the world we live in, because the Shah of Iran said this, my father said it, that the media, it will be the downfall of Western civilization. And it really, the gods of our day, the superheroes, the superstars of our days are so often these people that are so crude, so vulgar, so lacking in any kind of morality, the hypocrisy of, there's a big discussion on gun control. Mm. And of course, the Hollywood types, they are, you know, they take stage and, you know, they're all for, you know, the abolition of guns and all for, again, the hypocrisy, you know, the Me Too. And again, when I say Me Too, I don't want to in any way insinuate that if there's, you know, we've got it. Well, this, it goes back to civility and respect. A man's respect for a woman, but also a woman's respect for man, and a woman's respect for herself, and a man's respect for himself as well. And if we don't have that, I mean, look at how, you know, the way, it's just a schizoid. It's so schizoid. It's so, what's going on? But Hollywood, I can't say it enough, but the vulgarity, the vice, the free reign of the flesh, the violence, graphic violence, and we're not affected by that. You know, if we certainly open our mind and our hearts to that stuff, and if we're not giving some attention to the nurturing of our life in God, you know, discerning, reflecting, meditating, contemplating, So just to say, we're saying, my gosh, what's going on? We need divine intervention to shake us up or to bring us to our senses. At the same time, people don't know how to come to their senses. But yet, I say, yes, okay, so we're saying we need divine intervention. Well, he's already intervened. God has already intervened. We need but only open the door to the Bible, sacred scripture, to the gospel, to prayer, to the sacraments. He's intervened. He's already intervened. What can he do? You know, he leave us to our own design. If we're not going to wake up, then we'll pay the consequences. And perhaps, maybe, when we hit rock bottom, we will have the humility to put our hand in the hand of God and to be lifted out of the depths of darkness that we've created for ourselves. I hope. Mm-hmm. I hope. Am I over the top?
No, take a break. I think people have to do that. They have to hit rock bottom, and I think many people have not yet.
So we'll come back, and you tell me what you think. Sure. Christina, you got to say something here, too, so okay. I'm asking questions. I want to know. I want to hear somebody speak, respond. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Lissa Sporta with Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Repent and believe in the good news. Believe in Christ. You know, this is, again, this is what defined the life of Billy Graham. The call, I mean, he literally did this. He, you know, because at the end of his Billy Graham hour, there was always the altar call. I always thought it was interesting because the Baptists have the altar call, but there's no altar.
The hour of power.
But there would always be that. It was very, very moving. I remember that as a child watching that, and the people would come and they'd. Basically, what it was is after the preaching, the proclamation of God's word, without the full counsel of God, people then would give their lives over to Christ. They would make the altar call. I guess they call it the altar call, don't they? They do, but they don't have an altar. That's why I say, by the way, people, when we come to Mass, that is really for us an altar call. And it's not something we just do once, but we have to renew that every time we come to Mass. When we go into the Holy Mass, we call the sacred mysteries of our faith, where we begin, first of all, acknowledging God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We mark ourselves with the sign of the Trinity. We extend to each other the God's grace, and then we acknowledge before God and before each other that we are sinners in need of God's mercy. That's every time. That every time you go to Mass, this is what happens. This is how it begins. And then, of course, we're fed with the Word of God, So we're reminded, you know, this is the teachings of Christ. This is lest we forget. And then we literally go to the altar, and that's the altar call. Where how do we participate in the Mass? But it's the offering of our lives, the giving of our lives, the surrender of our lives through the priest in Christ to the Father. I try to emphasize this here all the time now, especially now that we're doing Ad Orientem, because mm-hmm. the posture conveys the truth of what we're doing. But that's how we participate. It's the offering, the sacrifice, the surrender, the giving of our lives anew. It's a renewal of that giving. And then, you know, we're prepared then to receive a Christ in the Holy Eucharist, the hidden manna, the bread from heaven, so that we be fed, so that we can go back into the desert, you know. So we've been driven out of the desert to sanctuary, mm-hmm. there to encounter God, to give ourselves over to the Lord, to be renewed in Christ, acknowledging that we are, yes, in need of mercy. We are sinners. We repent. And then we're fed to get back out into the battle, mm-hmm. into the war zone, and to give witness, to give testimony, to fight the good fight, but to claim the victory all the while. Now, if we're not going to Mass, it's not happening. It's not happening, because things do get skewed. You know, we need that. The Mass is a pure prayer. It's very pure, very pure. It's more than a prayer. It is the perpetuation of the sacrifice of Jesus, who gave himself, laid down his life to save us from our slavery to sin and death. You know. So anyway, but why is it not? What was the question before the break?
I don't remember what we were talking about.
Yeah, you gotta. So I want you guys to speak. Well, just no. Your commentary. What are you thinking? What's going through your head? What's going through your heart?
Christina?
Many things are going through my head and through my heart.
I mean, are we out there? Are we over the top? Am I over the top?
No. And as far as like going back to like the church, how the Church of Nice, that we have to befriend the world, and the world keeps changing. It keeps changing, and so we have to change with the world. No, because God doesn't change, and we've said that over and over. He is, and he remains the same. There is no changing.
So what we've done is we've normalized the normalization. Mm-hmm. We've made normal the violence and the vulgarity and the vice. When I say vice, I mean, sure, really it's the free reign of the flesh, yeah, lack of virtue. Mm-hmm. Lack of character. It goes back to what Billy Graham said: if you lose wealth, you lose nothing. If you lose your health, you lose something. If you lose character,
you lose everything.
Do we care about character?
Mm-hmm. And character, that's our identity. And it's like, oh, we have to, and so many people that I hear in the church, oh, well, we have to go with the flow. No, we don't.
No, that's the hard
and that's,
thing.
No, you have to stand firm and stand for what is truth. It's not easy, but that's what we're called to.
So when we have to ask the deeper question as to what is wrong, what has happened in view of the killings, mm-hmm. in Florida, you know, again, as I said, you know, it's become very politicized around gun control, mm-hmm. and mental illness.
That's the problem.
But there's a deeper problem, you know, and we don't want to address that. The breakdown of the family, mm-hmm. the absence of fathers, the hijacking of education by leftist ideology, mm-hmm. That creates gender confusion. And this is really an issue today, too, because I see this, you know, in so many of our families. You know, their kids are, we are toying with the psychosexual development, mm-hmm. of our children. And there was just heard the other day on the news, there was a teenager that was taken from her mother because the mother wouldn't allow her to go through a sex change operation.
Wow.
And she was taken, and even in the courts, they said they referred to this, it was a girl or a boy, I don't know, but they referred to this person by the new name that he or she chose for herself or himself, and completely disregard the parents.
So that's what's happening, and people today need to start paying attention to this, and they're not. I think what's happening now is just the beginnings of this. Although this has been going on for so long, I think people are still at this point stirring, becoming, you know, you have to get to know what's happening, especially in the schools. When you hear these stories, and I hear them all the time, and it's ridiculous. How, where's the sense in this anymore?
There's no
it's
logic.
Not being guided by sense anymore.
Mm-hmm. Because there's this concerted effort to normalize
yes.
something that is, you know, in reality, there is a certain mental illness. There's a, and again, when I say that, because I can see the red flags going up, because
sure.
you it's so hard mm-hmm. to speak, to have a civility, to have a civil dialogue,
right.
because immediately it's you're offending somebody, or you're, you know, the phobias or mm-hmm. you know, the, all that. But, you know, to say, what is this doing to society, to the future? What is it doing to the children, the young people? What's happening? Can we say that yes, in fact, the breakdown of the family is a real problem that feeds the sickness of our society? Can we say that and do something about it? It's very hard today in the society as it is, because all this is being normalized.
Yeah.
So how dare you? It was very shocking to me, really, mm-hmm. when the president, this was President Obama, said that, you know, I've evolved. I think he used that word. I've
mm-hmm.
evolved in my thinking, and he, as the head of state, you know, gave basically the green light, his permission, in a sense, to the redefinition of marriage. I do see this as a very, very, very real problem in the society today, and I think it's creating a lot of confusion. But anyway, these are just some of the issues. But again, to say that, does that mean we have no sensitivity for those who are going through their own struggles? Of course not. I say so often, and as I'm speaking on the radio, as we're speaking, we have to understand that we're all of us, each of us, every family is affected by what's happened in the society. So can we humbly say, yes, we have disorder in society. We have been affected. We have been victimized, or we are perpetrators of this. And we gotta, you know, as the, and we'll just conclude here, as we begin the season of Lent, you know, the Lord says, "Return to me with your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning." You know, and He says, "Call everybody to repent, everybody, elders, children, infants, the bridegroom, quit his room, bride her chamber, the priest, let them mourn, let them weep." You know, spare, O Lord, your people. Save us from ourselves. Save us from ourselves. Can we humbly recognize we're in need of real conversion? We need a metanoia, a change of heart. Our future depends on that, our willingness to do that. But God is patient and merciful, but, you know, there are consequences, and He leads us to our own design. All right, everybody, we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide the wind.